So I have to admit, I fell into a bit of a rabbit hole this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was doing the doom scroll thing over coffee, and the algorithm just decided that what I really needed to see was fitness content.
Of course.
And not just the, drink more water kind of fitness, but the hardcore, vein-popping, screaming at the camera variety. You know what I'm talking
Oh,
about.
absolutely. The whole grind set corner of the internet.
Right. It's just endless. It's all people treating their bodies like billboards. Every single post is a before and after, or it's a video of someone deadlifting a Volkswagen with a caption about how they outworked everyone while we were sleeping. It's just so loud, it's aggressive, and frankly, it feels incredibly transactional. Like, look at my body, therefore validate my existence. It makes me tired just looking at it.
It is exhausting, isn't it? And you hit on a key word there. Transactional. Modern fitness culture, broadly speaking, views the body as a product. You invest labor, the sweat, the diet, the hours, and in return, you get this commodity that you can display for, like, social currency. It's an ownership model. I built this, so look at me.
I built this. That's the mantra. But that's exactly why I wanted to bring this stack of sources to the table today. We're looking at something called fit fashion. It's a concept from a creator named Will. And when I first looked at the photos in the source material, honestly, I was confused. They don't look like fitness photos at all.
How so?
There's no sweat. There's no one gritting their teeth. It looks quiet, almost like a high-end editorial fashion shoot, but with athletes.
It is a radical departure, visually and philosophically. What Will has done with Fit Fashion is he's essentially flipped the entire narrative of why we even train. He's taking that typical look at me aesthetic of the fitness world and replacing it with a theological framework. He's basically arguing that we've got the fundamental relationship with our bodies completely wrong.
So let's get into that framework. Because usually when we talk about faith and fitness, it's, I don't know, some motivational quote on a water bottle. This feels deeper.
It is.
The sources really emphasize the shift from ownership to stewardship.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds a bit like semantic gymnastics to me. What does that actually mean in practice?
It sounds subtle, but it's actually a tectonic shift in your mindset. I mean, the default setting for most of us is ownership. We think, this is my body. I can feed it junk. I can run it into the ground. I can, sculpt it to look like a superhero. It's mine to do with as I please. Fit fashion challenges that by pulling from a specific text, 1 Corinthians 6.1920.
The classic body is a temple passage.
Exactly. But let's really parse what that text is claiming. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So if you take that seriously, as Will's philosophy does, it means you are not the owner of the building.
You're the property manager.
Not the property manager. You're the steward.
The property manager. I like that analogy, but I kind of want to push back on it a little.
Okay.
If I'm just the property manager, doesn't that make the whole thing feel a bit detached? Like, if I rent a car, I take care of it so I don't get fined, but I don't love it. I'm not waxing it on the weekends. Does this stewardship idea kill the passion for fitness?
That's a really valid question. Does stewardship mean detachment? I think the source would argue the opposite. So think about a master gardener who is hired to tend a royal garden. They don't own the land, they didn't design the landscape, but they toil over it. They prune, they water, they protect it from pests. Why?
Because they're honoring the person who hired them.
Exactly. Not because they own it, but because they honor the king who does. In fact, a good steward often cares more than an owner because they feel the weight of the trust that's been placed in them.
So in this context, the work of fitness, the burpees, the early mornings, all the meal prep, it isn't about increasing the market value of your asset.
No.
It's about maintaining the asset for the owner.
Precisely. And that completely changes the vibe of the result. If you're renovating a house to flip it and sell it, you care about curb appeal. You care about what it looks like on the listing. That's the vanity model. But if you're maintaining a historic temple, you care about structural integrity, longevity. You care that it serves its purpose as a place of worship. You stop treating the body like a marketplace and start treating it like a sanctuary.
A temple, not a marketplace. That's a really strong distinction. A marketplace is loud, it's chaotic, it's transactional. A temple is still purposeful. Which brings us to the visual side of this. We're calling this fit fashion, so we have to talk about the photography. I mentioned earlier that these photos look different. Can we maybe describe them for the listener? Because they are not your typical gym inspo.
No, they certainly aren't. If you open a typical fitness magazine, the visual language is all about effort. You see motion blur. You see that harsh, high-contrast lighting to accentuate every vein and muscle fiber.
Yeah, every striation.
Exactly. The subject is usually caught mid-action sprinting, lifting, straining. The subtext of those photos is always, look how hard I am working. Look at my struggle.
It's performative struggle. I suffer, therefore I am worthy.
Right. Now contrast that with the Fit Fashion portfolio. The lighting is softer, more like portraiture you'd see in, I don't know, a Vanity Fair spread. But the biggest difference is the subject.
They're still.
They are completely still. They aren't lifting anything. They aren't running. They're just standing there or sitting, gazing at the camera or just looking away.
Yeah.
They're just composed.
It's unsettling in a way, isn't it? We're so used to associating fitness with motion. So seeing a fit person just being, it feels almost countercultural.
It is countercultural. The expert source actually links this aesthetic directly to Psalm 46.70. Be still and know that I am God.
Okay.
So in a world that just screams that your value comes from your output,
mm-hmm.
what you can lift, how fast you can run, how much money you can make, stillness is a radical act of defiance.
Defiance against what, though? The hustle?
Defiance against the need to perform for approval. When a subject in these photos stands there, perfectly still, they are visually declaring, I don't need to do a backflip for you to know I have worth.
Yeah.
It communicates this deep, settled confidence, striving, that frantic need to show off that usually comes from insecurity.
Yeah, for sure.
We're trying to prove we're good enough. Stillness says, I already know I'm valuable because of who made me.
That's fascinating. It's like the difference between a dog that barks at everything because it's nervous and a lion that just sits there.
Mm.
The lion doesn't need to bark. It knows what it is.
That's a great analogy. It's gravitas. And that's what Will is trying to capture. He's not documenting a workout. He's documenting a state of being. He's capturing the result of the discipline, not the agony of it.
But let's play devil's advocate again, because I can hear a listener thinking, okay, this sounds noble and poetic, but let's be real. I want abs. I want to look good in a t-shirt.
Sure.
Is there room in the stewardship model for actually looking good, or do I have to pretend I don't care about aesthetics?
That is the tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
The source material actually addresses this pretty directly. It doesn't say that looking good is bad. It says that looking good is a secondary byproduct, not the primary goal.
Okay.
If you take care of a guard beautifully, it'll be beautiful. That's inevitable. But if you prioritize the beauty over the health of the soil, eventually the garden just dies.
So it's an order of operations thing.
Exactly. The concept here is training as obedience. The source references 1 Timothy 4.8, which acknowledges that physical training has value. But fit fashion frames that training not as a pursuit of vanity, but as a discipline of gratitude. You train because you are grateful for the body you've been given.
Okay, training as obedience. That word obedience, it can trigger some people. It sounds restrictive, like eat your vegetables or else. How is that a sustainable motivation compared to, say, wanting to attract a partner or winning a competition?
Well, let's look at the shelf life of those motivations. Mm-hmm. You know, if you train for vanity, what happens when you age? What happens if you get injured?
Right.
Or what happens when you actually get the six pack and you realize you still feel insecure? Vanity is a fragile fuel source. It burns hot, but it burns out.
Or it just turns into obsession. You get the six pack, then you need an eight pack. It's the hedonic treadmill.
Correct. That's where it crosses into idolatry, making a good thing into an ultimate thing.
Okay.
But if your motivation is obedience, or let's just call it faithful stewardship, that is sustainable for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up and train at 5 a.m. not because you hate your body and want to change it, but because you respect your body and want to care for it.
Mm.
It turns the grind into an act of worship.
So it reframes the discipline. Instead of it being punishment for what you ate yesterday, it's preparation for what you're called to do today.
Yes. And that connects to another major point in the sources, identity.
Okay.
We live in a culture that completely entangles identity with appearance. I am a runner. I am a bodybuilder. I am the fit guy. But if your identity is anchored in your appearance, you are always one torn ACL away from an identity crisis.
Oh, I've seen that happen. Friends who are high-level athletes get injured, and suddenly they just don't know who they are. They spiral.
Exactly. Because their temple was actually their idol.
Wow.
Fit fashion leans on Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and Ephesians 2.10, which talks about being created for good works. The argument is that your identity is based on your calling, not your composition. The body is just the instrument.
The instrument. I like that. A violin can be beautiful, but its purpose is to play music. If you just polish it and never play it, you've totally missed the point.
And conversely, if you smash it around and don't tune it, you also can't play the music. That's the balance.
Right.
Fit Fashion argues that we should tune the instrument, that's the fitness, the nutrition, the sleep, so that we can play the music we were created to play. The photos, then, are just portraits of the musician with their well-tuned instrument.
That makes the stillness of the photos make even more sense. If you see a portrait of a cellist, they usually aren't thrashing around. They are holding the cello with respect. It implies potential. I am ready to play.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It implies readiness. And I think that's why this concept strikes a chord, even if you aren't particularly religious. We are all so tired of the hustle.
We are.
We're tired of the constant demand to prove our worth through output. Mm. There is something deeply attractive about a philosophy that says, you are already valuable. Now, treat yourself like you believe that.
It's a relief, honestly. It takes all the pressure off. I don't have to win the gym. I just have to show up.
Right.
But I want to circle back to the fashion part of fit fashion one last time. We talked about the stillness, but is there a danger here? Could someone use this high-minded theology to just post really nice photos of themselves and feel superior about it? Like, oh, I'm not vain like those gym bros. I'm a steward.
That is the human condition, isn't
yeah.
it? We can turn anything into a status game. So yes, absolutely. You can turn humility into a flex. Look how humble I am.
Check out my stewardship gains.
Right. And Will's philosophy doesn't grant you immunity from narcissism.
Yeah.
But it provides a diagnostic tool to check your heart. If you are posting the photo to get applause for your piety, you've missed the point just as much as the guy posting for applause for his biceps.
Mm-hmm.
The litmus test is internal. It's about why you are doing the work when the camera isn't on.
That's the real key. It's what happens in the dark.
It is. The aesthetic is just the surface. The engine is the theology. The source material emphasizes that fit fashion isn't a ministry, strictly speaking. It's a craft, an artistic exploration.
Okay.
But it poses a question to the viewer. When you look at those images, you aren't thinking, wow, I wish I had those deltoids. You're thinking, wow, that person is at peace.
And peace is a much rarer commodity than deltoids these days.
Significantly rare.
So if we synthesize all of this, the theology, the photography, the culture critique, what is the big takeaway for someone listening who might just be a casual gym goer, someone who isn't going to book an editorial photo shoot, but just wants a healthier relationship with their Fitbit?
I think the synthesis is this. You can honor your body without worshiping it. That is the middle path. On one side, you have neglect, ignoring your health because spiritual things matter more. That's poor stewardship. On the other side, you have vanity obsessing over health because image is everything, and that's idolatry.
And fit fashion drives right down the center line.
Right down the center. It invites you to view your next workout not as a payment for your sins or a ticket to social acceptance, but as a simple act of maintenance for a gift you didn't earn. It allows you to work hard, really hard, without the anxiety of performance.
It changes I have to into I get to.
Exactly. And it grants you permission to be still, to rest, to acknowledge that your body is good, not because it's perfect, but because of who the architect is.
That is a solid place to land. It's funny, we started this talking about how loud and aggressive fitness culture is, and we've ended up in a place of stillness. It's a nice reprieve.
It's necessary. I think we all need more quiet in our visual diet.
We really do. Now, before we let everyone go, we always like to leave you with a challenge or a thought experiment, something to mull over while you're on your next run or driving to work. We've talked a lot about the why, but let's make it personal.
I've got one, and it's a tough one. It's a question I had to ask myself while I was reviewing these sources.
Let's hear it.
We talked about the dark earlier, the unseen work. So here is the question. If you stopped using your fitness to prove your worth, if nobody saw your progress, if there were no Instagram, no compliments, no before and after reveal, would you still show up?
Oof, that cuts deep. If the audience disappeared, would the discipline remain?
Would you still do the work simply to honor the one who entrusted you with the body? Or is the applause the only fuel you have?
That is the ultimate test of stewardship versus vanity, fitness in the dark.
Fitness in the dark.
I have a feeling a few of us, myself included, might need to sit with that one for a while. A huge thank you to the creators behind Fit Fashion for giving us this lens to look through. It's definitely changed how I'm going to look at the gym tomorrow. And thank you, of course, for listening to this deep dive.
Go take care of your temple.
See you next time.